Good morning, everyone. I'll indeed go to a very different kind of example, which you'll immediately see when I switch to my first image. This photograph, probably taken around 1920, shows the portrait of Therese Graf, Neheimrat, born as a peasant's daughter in a small Bavarian village near Lake Starnberg to the south of Munich in 1857, and deceased in that same village in 1934. Of her 12 children, 4 migrated to the United States. 3 of them did while she was still alive. They went for economic reasons briefly before or after the First World War, and they were to become mine workers or bakers in the New World. The 4th, her son Oscar, was to follow in 1938. His exile was both politically and personally motivated, and it is a prominent case of migration from Germany to the US during the first half of the 20th century. Therese's youngest son, Oscar, is the well-known novelist Oscar Maria Graf, whose 50th anniversary, death anniversary, drew much attention this year. Graf had spent his youth in the communist and anarchist circles of the Munich Bohème and had started to gain prominence as a writer just briefly before the National Socialist rise to power began to bring all cultural and artistic work in line with the party's ideology. Oscar Maria Graf's narrations were firmly grounded in the texture and style of his Bavarian homeland, the term Heimat not foreign to his language. However, his books were strongly informed by critical leftist spirit. When the party started to burn and ban books by Jewish or politically disagreeable authors, Graf famously demanded that his works should be burned too, and explicitly spoke out against National Socialist norms and institutions in order to avoid any engrossment as a Heimatschriftsteller, a folklorist by them. He writes this very famous manifesto as a reaction to the National Socialist burning of books during a trip to Vienna. And this actually marks the beginning of his exile, as it becomes impossible for him to return to Germany after this. Together with his Jewish life companion Miriam Sachs, he had thought about emigration anyway very early on after January 1933. Both stay in Czechoslovakia first until the end of the 1930s, and then they move on to New York. While Miriam Sachs earns the couple's living as a secretary for Aufbau, Oscar Maria Graf works from this office in their small apartment in Washington Heights. And if we look closely, this is where we meet Therese Graf again, his mother, or rather her photograph, set in large format in the left upper part of the wall. You can see it here. As a physical object, this photograph must have followed Oscar on the successive steps of migration. Set into a geographic and cultural environment far from her homeland, her portrait becomes part of a very personal and idiosyncratic image archive, which contains some items of graphic art, some documents, but mostly photographs or photographic reproductions that relate, on the one hand, to Graf's very individual background, but they correspond with images, for instance, Karl Marx, Thomas Mann, King Ludwig II of Bavaria, and George Washington. So they all convene together on this wall. It is thus more than a mere wall of memorabilia, but rather a mind map or an atlas that personifies and connects different stages and places of the migrant's life across the globe, both in terms of ideas and of materiality. That he places the photograph of his mother within this mind map on an equal footing, or as the view into the study suggests, even in a very accentuated way, is no coincidence. The early years of his exile were exactly the years in which he wrote what was to become his chef d'oeuvre, the monumental biography Das Leben meiner Mutter, The Life of My Mother, which was indeed first published in English translation with a small New York publishing house in 1940. In style and subject, this book is very much rooted in the upper Bavarian landscape of the author's origin, drawing the portrait of an era when modernism gains ground and finally turns into dystopia between the 1860s and 1930s, all intertwined with the life cycle of his mother, whom he describes emphatically as uneducated and simple, yet without any sentimentality or romanticization. It rather is a realist's endeavor to salvage the increasingly charged and politically occupied concepts of tradition and home, and as such it may be related to some of the discussions around identity politics or the term of identities as we witness it today, particularly in Germany, I might add. The condition of migration and exile is not only the factual biographical background to this writing, it also becomes tangible in the narrative itself when Graf reveals how earlier generations of his family had migrated to Bavaria in the first place, which adds another circular level to the account and of course links to his very personal experience at the moment of writing. Altogether, the level of personal, immediate experience and its relation to large history and its narratives is apparently one of the main motives in this work. Linking this to the overarching queries of our conference, I would like to argue that the very informal portrait of Therese Graf as part of her son's image archive is not only a mere illustration to a book and its history. It is an image object with its own biography, a biography that it exerts active agency as a reminder, a trace, a portable lieu de mémoire for the migrant, but also becomes incorporated into an expanding narrative. This series of authors' portraits show Graf himself. By the time a successful and renowned author, around 20 years after the publication of Das Leben meiner Mutter, more than 25 years after her death and the beginning of his exile. In three of these photographs, Graf rather deliberately puts himself, his portrait, in relation to his mother's. It's around the same time that he decides for good not to move back to Bavaria, but to stay the somewhat reluctant New Yorker that he had become in the meantime. He underlines how the memories of his homeland had begun to fade, all but those related to his mother, which remained as colorful and tangible as ever. And one is tempted to think how much of this is related to the very tangible presence of her portrait through the years, which thus embodies an encounter between the first and the second life of a migrant, as it were. However, from today's point of view, one might even ask further if and where there was a moment when this image of the mother became almost something like a trademark too. As far as I know, every edition of the book, up to the most recent one, which I show here, featured this very image at the frontispiece to the first part. Therese Graf's portrait has been immortalized and multiplied with the same pace which introduced her son's oeuvre into the canon of German and world literature. One could say that a very simple photo was turned into a multiple, a monument, or even a brand in its own terms. In any case, it certainly has come a long way since the day when it was taken by an unknown photographer, maybe someone from or close to her family, probably while she was sitting on a bench in front of her house looking over Lake Starnberg. This example thus also stands for the dynamics that play out between popular and private photo practices and the narrative making that is inherent to processes of fundamental historical and political significance. Migration has been, is, and will certainly be one of those processes. And this is why this exemplary itinerary of one photograph can also stand past pro toto for the research interest of my research group, Objects in the Contact Zone, the Cross-Cultural Lives of Things, which I've directed here at the Institute since 2011. This group looks not only at the places and objects of exchange, but also at the dynamics and agencies that set things into motion and the underlying or resulting epistemic conditions. This overlaps with the interest of many colleagues here at the Institute, and Costanza Carafa will say more about this in a minute. And it was in particular an important incentive for a cooperation with our photo library, whose research activities are in many ways in tune with the queries I mentioned above. I'm therefore very happy now to hand over to Costanza Carafa, who will introduce us with the more theoretical and methodological premises of this conference and its embedment into the larger layout of the Institute. Thank you.